Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, March 11th, a Medical Monday. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga OBGYN at Myrtle Street and the new physician midwife pregnancy care model at Saratoga Hospital. SaratogaHospital.org for more information. Joining us for Medical Monday is Matthew Alheim, the clinical director of Repture and Associates Physical Therapy in Albany, New York. The last time we had him on, the phones wouldn't stop. This promises to be a busy show, so be sure to get your calls in early, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Matthew Alheim and your physical therapy calls all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us on Medical Monday is a guy I know very well, Matthew Alheim, the clinical director of Repture and Associates Physical Therapy in Troy, New York. In Albany, New York. I don't know why I did that. Matthew received his degrees in physical therapy from Quinnipiac University. His areas of expertise include the treatment of orthopedic and sports-related injuries, including total joint replacements of the shoulder, hip, knee, and ankle, rotator cuff repairs, and ACL reconstructions. Let me just say that each of you out there who has had something done to your body and who is thinking about going to physical therapy, this is going to be a very interesting program for you. Matt Alheim, thank you so much for being on the Vox Pop.
My pleasure, Alan. Glad to be back.
Always great to see you here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Jim in Matamoros, Pennsylvania for a change. Okay, Jim, you're on.
How soon after femoral neck fixation should physical therapy begin?
Hi, Jim. That's a good question. It's really going to depend on the physician and the surgical technique and how well the fixation of the implant they put into the bone is going to heal. They like to keep those quiet for a period of time where you're not bearing much weight through that. Sometimes walking with a walker, non-weight-bearing, and then they usually let you progress your weight-bearing before they start moving it around. So it could be 4 weeks, it could be 8 weeks, or anywhere in between there.
Matt, what is neck fixation?
You're talking about the femur, right, Jim?
Right.
Yeah, so that's the thigh bone in the leg. So usually that happens from a motor vehicle accident or someone falls and breaks the femoral neck or for the femoral shaft.
So wait a second, I'm hopelessly lost. It's the leg and the neck somehow?
Well, no. The neck is part of the bone that fits into the socket.
Oh, I see. So we call that the neck.
The neck of the femur, right?
Oh, interesting.
As the femur goes up, it creates an angle, and they call that the neck.
Okay, Jim, thank you. And we'll go to Nicole in Berkshire County. Nicole in Berkshire County, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, doctors. I just have a question. I had a hip replacement in September and had a pretty bad fall about 3.5 months after, and nothing's been the same. And I had MRIs done and everything. I'm just wondering, is there anything else that should be looked at as far as trauma done to the muscular end or they didn't find any cracks or anything like that, but I'm still having trouble walking. I don't know. This is a very vague question, I understand.
Well, my experience with that is that if you've had a hip replacement and you fell and you didn't fracture anything or dislocate the joint, bony-wise, looks good. There's most likely some soft tissue damage that's probably been done. So your motion might be limited. You still might have limitations in your strength. So that's something that should be looked at, where you probably need some appropriate exercises for stretching to get your range of motion back, and more importantly, to get your strength back. Because when you have trauma after the surgery, you're going to have pain, and that's going to affect the way the muscles work, which is going to limit how well you're getting around and transferring. getting in and out of the car, and I'm sure all those things you're experiencing.
Oh, exactly. And so should I just ask my doctor if I should be referred to physical therapy again? That's what I'm thinking at this point needs to happen.
Yeah, that probably, if someone were to evaluate you there, they could give you, the stretches you need and the exercises to get you back going.
Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you, doctors.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. The telephone number here is 1-800-348-2551. You will not be able to get in by the end of this program. Now's the time to call if you're going to do it. 1-800-348-2551. There's not a better guy in the world to be talking to than Matt Alheim. So let's go to Stephen in South Glens Falls. Stephen, you're on.
Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Hi, Stephen.
So about 9 months ago, my wife suffered a little bit of hyperextension injury of the left shoulder while going down a chute canyoneering. Treated it conservatively, rest, anti-inflammatories didn't help. Took a short course of steroids, didn't help. Got a steroid injection, didn't help a lot. Finally, imaging was done. Didn't show any obvious tears of the cuff, didn't show any obvious capsule injuries. A fair amount of physical therapy, several months worth, helped a little, but not a lot. So about a week ago, she underwent arthroscopic surgery on that left shoulder. The cuff was fine. There was no obvious capsular damage. But there was some impingement, so she had a subacromial decompression and now is just healing and seems to be doing fine. My question is this. After that relatively extended period of time before the decompression, would you expect that recovery with some of the ranges that still hurt her, such as hyperextensive moments of the shoulder and hyperflexion across the chest of the same shoulder, would you expect the residual pain she gets with that to be prolonged because of weakness of the rotator cuff musculature due to relative disuse over those months? Or should that recover pretty quickly?
Okay, here we go now, Stephen. Go ahead, Matt.
That's a good question, Stephen. My experience with those types of problems and her history and what you've just described is very common. We see that all the time. The motion that's usually lost in between surgery from her injury to when she had surgery should usually come back with stretching and strengthening. Most likely, she's going to benefit from getting her range of motion back. If she's still limited, it's going to be helpful for her to get her mobility back with some stretching and strengthening things to restore her, full mobility.
And in general, you think that can be done just with daily activities of daily living, or does PT really, formal PT really play a role in this case?
It depends. If she can get, sometimes people just can't move their shoulder through the restrictive ranges that they have and they need specific types of stretches. And other times people can work through that. So it's real dependent on the patient and how willing they're, going to work through some of the restrictions and pain that they have. Because sometimes people don't know if the pain is good and, or if they're doing harm to themselves. So that's kind of where our professional judgment's going to come into play.
Stephen, got to go. Thank you. All right. And now let's go to, we'll go to Jude in Enfield, Connecticut. Hey, Jude.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I got a quick question. For hip replacements, I know there's two methods, anterior and posterior. What are your thoughts as far as recovery? One versus the other. Do you find that one type of surgery recovers faster?
Yes, great question. The posterior hip approach is the approach that's been done for the longest amount of time. They go in through the side and the back of the hip that's being done, and the recovery time on the posterior hip replacements is usually longer because of the muscle that they have to go through and cut to get into the joint. The anterior approach, I have had patients come in within 1 to 2 to 3 days after having the anterior approach done, and you would barely know that they had had anything done. Their walking is better.
Wow.
They have less of a limp, less pain, and they move much quicker early on. So that's why if you're a candidate, the anterior approach is the approach that we're seeing more often at this time.
Thank you, Jude. Okay, and now on to on to Susan in Schenectady. All right, Susan, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about, I have a hip issue. My hip has been bothering me for a while, like inside the joint, and I recently took a bad fall, and I went to the doctor, and my insurance denied the MRI, so I'm not sure where to go from there.
So a couple things. Usually if you're having a hip problem, it could be a couple things. It can truly be your hip. It can sometimes even be your back. So the classic sign is that if you have groin pain, usually it's a hip problem. If you have a problem in your hip and buttock region on the outside, it could be a hip problem or it could be a spine problem. So we like to rule out one or the other before we really go forward in treating that. An x-ray would rule out some arthritis if you were having in your hip. An MRI would show signs of tendon problems or even spine problems.
Okay, that's very helpful. I would say that my problem is definitely on the outside of my hip and in my bottom leg region. So,
yep. So then you would really want someone to, you know, do a workup on probably your back or some of the soft tissues on the outside of your hip because they can contribute to those symptoms as well.
Thank you, Susan. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. And we are back with the great Matt Alheim from Rupture and Associates Physical Therapy in Albany, New York. I don't want to tell you how many times Matt has taken care of me. Okay, so here we go. Let's go now to... there it is. Susan in Albany. All right, Susan in Albany. Different Susan, I hope. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. 5 weeks ago, I had a hip replacement anterior laterally, and I was doing great. I did have a prior knee injury, and I had started physical therapy after the surgery, and my hip pain was gone, and my knee pain was leaving me. And then I had a fall, and my doctors think I probably dislocated and then relocated my hip replacement immediately because the pain was so great, and I heard a pop. So my doctor's not quite sure if my hip replacement going into my femur jammed down farther into the femur than it was placed, if that's making sense.
Okay.
And he said only a series of x-rays and my pain level will tell for sure. So now my knee pain's back, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to tell the difference between is it my old knee pain back because I can't do the PT anymore, or am I getting this pain because I've, you know, damaged my hip replacement? I'm not sure if you can give me some insight because I'm certainly eager to get back to the PT because it helped everything feel better.
Why isn't your doctor letting you go back to therapy at this time?
Because he is not yet sure if I've damaged my hip replacement, if I pushed whatever went into the femur that they put in the femur,
okay,
if I pushed
so
it down
they're
farther.
Just ruling out whether you fractured something bone-wise.
He can't tell when he looks at the x-rays from the surgery day to the other day when I fell and had x-rays in the ER. He can't rule out that I didn't damage
right.
that.
So I think once that is identified and they can tell whether there was something done structurally or to the bone, and if that all comes back negative and there was nothing done, then I think it's important that you would get back because there's probably some soft tissue things that the therapy can do to help you with your pain. Because a lot of them, some of the muscles that cross your hip that have an effect on your hip also have an effect on your knee. And I'm sure the fall probably exacerbated that.
And so is there a question of the
yeah.
right diagnostic tool here? In other words, did you say that MRI was not possible for you in this case?
That wasn't suggested. They were comparing x-rays.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I think, you know, they might do some other types of imaging that maybe can look at that a little bit closer. But once that was identified as not being the cause of the problem, then I think it makes sense for you to get back, you know, to therapy to have them work on some of the soft tissue issues.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. We're talking, of course, to Matt Allheim, the clinical director of Repture and Associates Physical Therapy in Albany, New York. Let us go now to Tom in Mayfield. Tom in Mayfield, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey,
hi Tom.
October of 2017, I started having numbness and tingling in my left hand. My doctor sent me immediately to the ER to make sure it was not any heart issues, and ruled out anything to do with that. I had tests done on my neck and my shoulder, including where they send the shocks down and where they put the needle in to check the sound. No nerve damage at all, some slight spinal stenosis. But being they couldn't find anything, the orthopedic treated it as carpal tunnel and gave me two injections. Everything was fine up until a month ago where that numbness and tingling has started to come back. And I was just inquiring as to what do you think I should do next, being there was no signs of any nerve damage the first time around.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good question. This is a very complex issue, carpal tunnel. When you have numbness and tingling in the hands, there's other nerve entrapments that can be going on with different nerves that travel down your arm into your hand. That also could be the cause of that. Even though your nerve conduction test was negative, there's also a possibility that it still could be coming from your neck. A lot of times those tests come back inconclusive or negative, but that doesn't completely rule out the neck. So if you came to me with the complaints you just mentioned, I'd be looking at your neck a little bit closer, at your carpal tunnel, as well as doing different nerve exercises to see if any of those recreate the symptoms that you have in your hand.
Maybe this is a question I shouldn't ask you, Matt. Hold on a second there, Tom. But do people ever come to you first before they go to the doctor?
Sometimes they do. That's called direct access, which allows patients to come into the office before seeing a physician. And that's something that patients can do. We can treat them for 30 days or 10 visits without a physician's referral.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, insurance doesn't cover that. So patients either have to pay out of pocket for that, or if we see them prior to the doctor and we think that physical therapy would be appropriate for them, then we would refer them back to their specialist or their primary care doctor.
So Tom, did you want to follow up with a question?
Well, would it be possible that I have a shoulder injury that's causing this?
It's possible. Shoulders can refer pain all the way down to the hand, but with what you're saying, it sounds more like a neck or a nerve entrapment type problem in your arm somewheres.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go now to Bill in Troy. Bill in Troy, you're on.
Oh, yes. Hello, doctors. Hello to you, Matt. You did a terrific job with one of my knees, and Shane did a terrific job with the other one. I wanted to ask about materials that are used for knee replacements, titanium versus the various ceramics that I understand can be used. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments on that?
To be honest, Bill, we don't really get involved in much of the makeup of the devices that are put into the joint replacements, whether it's knee, hip, shoulder, ankle. The doctors don't really tell us what they're putting in there. It's just a total joint. So I don't have a lot of experience or, you know, to give you a go with titanium or go with ceramic.
Well, I already have titanium. And I'm just hoping that it lasts. I have another a quite different question in Dr. Chartok, if I may. Can I ask another question?
Yes.
And I would like, if possible, for Matt to comment on the need for patients after they've finished their regimen with a physical therapist, the need for patients to continue to keep moving in order to ensure that they have long-term results.
Absolutely. With any of the joint replacements, total knees and total hips, the research suggests that you really don't reach your maximal potential with those types of surgeries for up to 2 to 3 years after you have it done. So patients come in and they see us for a short duration of their rehab, you know, 2, 3, 4 months maybe at the most, depending on their insurance. And they're at that point, maybe 80 to 90% of what they're really going to get. But they're still going to improve over, you know, a year or two after. I always tell my patients that they're going to continue to see improvement in their range of motion and their strength and their function, you know, for up to a year, even 2 years out.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. All right. And now, 1-800-348-2551. We're going to go to Scott in Clifton Park. Scott, you're on the air. Go. Hi, Scott. Scott. Whoa, I think Scott has deserted us. Scott, I'm going to count to three. If you're not there, we're done. One and two and three. Hang up. All right. Oh, I guess I messed up. I thought I did the right thing, but I apparently didn't. Let's try that again. Scott, are you there? Scott?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So I have CP in my entire right side, and I have a torn rotator cuff in my left side from a car accident back in 2017. My primary care doctor has had MRIs and x-rays done and believes that I should not have surgery because I am going to, through overuse of my left side because of the CP, just recreate the injury again now that I have the torn rotator cuff from the car accident. And we're looking for variations of how to repair the rotator cuff naturally and with physical therapy without physical surgery.
So you tore the rotator cuff in an accident, Scott?
Yes, back in August of 2017.
So have you tried therapy on that shoulder yet?
They have just located the injury because they thought it was something else because the pain is radiating mostly in my bicep.
Okay.
It feels actually like somebody is trying to push out from the inside to, you know, like almost like a baby, I guess, coming out. The other analogy that I've come to use is the scene from Alien where the alien pops out of the guy's stomach. That's what it feels like. It's like something is trying to tear through my arm, but from the inside out, not from the outside in. So they thought it was something different. And then because the pain kept persisting and it is difficult more in the wintertime for me to bend over all the way, they noticed that there was something wrong. So they just did MRIs and then they did x-rays and then MRIs. And they noticed that there was a tear in the rotator cuff.
So the advice I would give you on that would be just because the MRI showed that you have a rotator cuff tear, I would always try some conservative care, if you haven't had that yet, for sure, before you jumped into any type of surgery. I think to look at your mobility to see if there was any restrictions in your range of motion. And there's lots of patients that we see all the time that have rotator cuff tears that will come into the office and actually do well without having surgery by strengthening their shoulder, getting their mobility back. And a lot of times that helps with pain. So before, you know, you jump into anything, that would be my suggestion.
Scott, there's your suggestion. Okay, and now we're going to go to Jean in Schenectady. Jean in Schenectady, your turn.
Good afternoon. I've had two back surgeries, L3, L4, L4, L5. I'm very limited in ability to bend, and I've had two partial knee surgeries. I've been told I have a degenerative bone disease. I have constant pain in my back and knees and joints. It's very difficult to exercise or stay with any type of plan. I realize how important exercise and to maintain my flexibility. For someone in my situation, what exercise is best? And is Pilates or yoga beneficial? And which one would be more helpful? I'm 55 years old.
Yes, hi, Jean. I think either one. I always tell patients that complain of what you're talking about is motion is lotion. Any type of movement that you do, you know, Pilates, yoga, walking, exercise, all those things gradually put forth to an exercise program will help arthritis, will help knee problems, and especially back problems. So I think you could go with either one of those.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jean. Okay. And now on to, let's see here, Kelly in Albany. Kelly in Albany, your turn.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey. I am 40 years old, and I've been running on and off for about 20 years, average 10 to 20 miles a week. The past few months, I've noticed that after sitting with my hips at an angle less than 90 degrees, when I stand up, I get a severe hip and groin pain, and it goes away after I walk it out for about a minute. I'm wondering if, number one, is it safe to keep running? Number two, besides sitting at a greater angle, is there anything I can be doing at home, or is this something that I should get checked out? And also, just I don't know if it's worth mentioning, a few years ago, my mother was diagnosed with arthritis in her hip.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the other call. One of the classic symptoms of a hip that is arthritic is going to be groin pain. So if you're a runner and you're not having pain when you run, it would be hard for me to think that you had arthritis in your hip. But what I would look at is your back, too, because usually after sitting for a prolonged period of time, with your knees bent up, like you say, and then you get up and you have pain, but then gets better as you take a few steps, that could be a back issue as well. So I'm not saying it couldn't be a hip issue, but I'd want to make sure it wasn't coming from your back first.
Okay. So should I just be, I mean, what can I be doing then? Is it something that I should get checked out?
I think before I would give you any advice or any exercise on that, I would get that checked out, yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I'll tell you what, let's take a short break, and then we'll have time to come back for a nice long third period. And we are back with the great Matthew Olheim of Repture and Associates Physical Therapy joining us today. Let me put it this way. I've been a happy camper because of Matt and John and the people at Repture. Support for Vox Pop comes, we're going to do that later. I don't know why I did that now. So Matt, we'll start taking calls again because there are a lot of people on the phone. Telephone number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. 2551. Let's go to Michael in Greenfield, Massachusetts, on line number 4. There you go. Michael, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been diagnosed with mild carpal tunnel syndrome, and they want to do surgery, and I was wondering if physical therapy would help alleviate my carpal tunnel syndrome, or do I need to have surgery to help this?
Hi, Michael. It's definitely possible that you could, if it's mild carpal tunnel, where someone could evaluate your arm and your wrist and your neck and help you without having to have surgery for that type of condition.
So he could go directly to you, for example.
Physical therapy. Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. All right.
Thank you.
Yep. And now we'll go to, Anna in Latham. Anna in Latham, you're on.
Hello, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. So I have piggyback on the carpal tunnels. I actually had carpal tunnel surgery on both my wrists already, and now I seem to have symptoms of cubital tunnel symptoms. I have two questions. First is this a common issue for people with carpal tunnel? And the second is this like carpal tunnel that eventually I need surgery on?
So this is another tunnel that is closer to your elbow where right. The nerve gets kind of hung up in there and doesn't stretch like it should, and it can give you numbness and tingling in your hand. What I would encourage you to do is some nerve gliding exercises if you were to come in to the office. And the correlation between, I don't think there's a large correlation between cubital tunnel and carpal tunnel. They're two different nerves that are really involved in that.
Right. Okay. And again, like I say, you know, is this an issue eventually that it seems like it's a nerve issue, and eventually you're going to need some sort of a surgery.
Yeah. Do you have neck problems as well?
Not really.
No.
But I do have some tingling feeling in my mid-upper back.
Uh-huh.
Which I was told that kind of related to my neck, but I really don't have any neck issues.
Mm-hmm. So for treating that, I would look at your neck as well. You know, you say you don't have any neck issues, but if there can be a correlation from your neck, that also can cause these symptoms in your elbow and your hand. So I think some type of therapy. Usually we see patients that are on the cusp of the surgeons, not sure whether the surgery will help. So we'd see those patients in the office to make sure that surgery would really be indicated.
Okay. And how often are these type of surgery done? I mean, I know carpal tunnels is so common.
Yes, carpal tunnel is definitely more common than cubital tunnel. I don't see a lot of post-surgeries for cubital tunnel on a daily basis.
Okay, I appreciate your answers.
Thank you. Okay. Telephone number we're loading up here, though, is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And now we go to Chris in Niskayuna. Chris in Niskayuna, your question, please.
Hi, guys. I had a wrist injury a few weeks ago where I fell backwards playing basketball, and I went like to the urgent care the day after and had it x-rayed and everything. I mean, it was very, very painful at the time. I went to urgent care and they x-rayed it and they confirmed that there's no broken bones or anything, but it's been about a week and a half and I'm just concerned whether or not I need to go back to the doctor. The swelling has gone down, but it doesn't seem like there's any improvement in the pain. I still have, you know, a dull ache that's sort of there all the time. And then if I try to, you know, pick something up or do something with it, then I get a sharp pain. Just looking for your advice. So, do I need to go wait a little longer or go back to the doctor?
So if you're not using it, Chris, does it still bother you? If it's completely sedentary and you're not doing anything with it, do you still have pain in it?
It's sort of occasionally when I'm not doing anything, there'll be like a dull sort of ache to it.
I'd give it another. Go ahead.
Not at my wrist, but sort of like, you know, maybe a few, like 4 or 5 inches away from my wrist, up towards my elbow.
Yeah. I'd give it another week or so. And if that pain doesn't continue to get better, you know, obviously you hurt your wrist and there was some chemicals that were released in that area, and that's going to cause a constant pain. But over the course of about 14 days, that should go away. And at rest, okay, your wrist shouldn't bother you at all. And it still might be a little stiff until you get your mobility back. But I'd give it another week or so. And if you still have pain with or at rest at that time, then that might be something to, you know, can get checked back out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Got two real fast ones here over the interweb, as Ray says. Says Todd, after walking about a fourth of a mile, both of my hips start hurting on the outsides with a burning sensation. My doctor says it's probably bursitis. Does that sound right to you?
That's possible. I would. Does it say how old they are?
They don't. It doesn't. I'm so sorry.
So with walking or standing, if they're over probably 60, there's a good chance that they might have stenosis in their back. So that type of narrowing would cause them to have pain on the sides of their hips. It's possible that they could have a tendon problem as well.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another one, which we'll make short shrift of. Would love to hear your thoughts about a newer cast options, 3D print and air casts over traditional fiberglass plaster, specifically with regard to regaining strength and mobility after the bone is healed. I'm a week into a fiberglass cast and desperate for alternatives.
Interesting. That's something I don't have a lot of experience with, so I can't comment on that.
All right, good. Thank you for that. Let's see here. Oh, boy, there's somebody who's been hanging on. Alice in Ashfield. We're running out of time, so be as quick as you can. Go ahead, Alice.
Okay. I have severe cervical stenosis in 6 and 7 neck cervical, and I have tingling in my left thumb and the area between my thumb and my first finger, and sometimes feel like there's a crushing thing, you know, like a pressure on my arm. And I wonder if physical therapy can help that. I know it's arthritis.
So stenosis is a narrowing of where the nerve comes out, and at that level, that's a common place where you're going to get it in your thumb. And I would say absolutely that's something that probably would benefit with some traction to try to open up that space, some posture exercises to keep that area open, and that would take pressure off the nerve, which in turn would reduce some of the tingling in your thumb.
Thank you, Alice. Okay. Okay, and now let's go to, Donna in Woodstock. All right, Donna in Woodstock, you're on.
Hi. I have a granddaughter who's going to be 14, and she's running a lot, and I worry. Because I remember when my son, you know, like, was 15, and they said, don't let him do too much lifting weights or this or that till he was a certain age. And she, I mean, is it safe or what to do? She ran 17 miles last Saturday, and is this good?
Well, I have a 14-year-old too, Donna, and she's a runner. She doesn't run 17 miles. I think any sport at any, you know, whether you're talking about running or baseball or hockey or soccer or whatever it is, moderation's the key.
Well, is that moderate?
I think 17's probably a little excessive.
I wrote a column.
I do too.
I just wrote a column for
my daughter's lazy, but her father's a jock, so I.
Yeah. Well, I just wrote a column, Donna, for the Berkshire Eagle. It'll be out next Saturday, in which I say rules for grandparents. And one of them is don't tell them what to do. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Okay, and let's see here. Let's go to, number two. Christy in Albany. All right, Christy in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan, and hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Hi, Christy.
I have some issues with my right side, and I've had a few decades of some sciatic pain and some IT numbness over there. And lately, I have pain in my right glute, like especially when I first wake up in the morning. And anytime I do deep knee bends, when I stand back up, I need to rotate my hip a bit, and then it clicks my knee, and I can walk again. So anyway, I've been told it's probably a torn meniscus. They did a few tests, and it came out that way. I haven't had an MRI yet. But I was just wondering if there's some good stretches or strengthening things I can do to prevent surgery.
So a torn meniscus, depending on where the meniscus is torn in the knee, there's areas of the meniscus that can repair itself and can actually do fine without surgery. There's other areas that don't get a lot of blood supply that will, if it is torn, you need to have surgery. But
I believe it's lateral.
Yeah, so it would be hard to comment on whether that was going to heal or not. But keeping the mobility in your knee is really important, and strengthening the muscles that cross your knee, your quads and your hamstrings, as well as your hip, are really important to avoid surgery on the knee.
Christy, we're running out of time, so I got to let you go. Thank you. And let's go now to Bob in Sussex County, New Jersey. I know it well. Let's go. Bob, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I have bad shoulders. I'm 67 years old. They told me they should be replaced. I'm noticing that there's about two different procedures. One's, just, I guess, a standard one, and the other one is a reverse joint procedure.
Correct.
And I'm just wondering if you have a recommendation on what you prefer and what the average recuperation time is.
So,
and I'm a skier, and I'm wondering if I'll still be able to ski.
You should still be able to ski. There's two types of replacements, Bob. There's what they call a total shoulder replacement, and there's a reverse total shoulder replacement. Total shoulder replacement means that you have a rotator cuff that's intact, it's healthy. Those people do very well. And then there's a reverse total shoulder replacement. That is a shoulder replacement for someone who has a rotator cuff that is not intact. So they either have a tear that's not repairable, or the tissue quality's poor, and they reverse the shoulder on how it's put in. So the ball becomes the socket, and the socket becomes the ball. Those people do well. They tend not to do as well as a total shoulder, just because of the quality of the tissue that's inside. So your surgeon will know really which replacement technique you will have by the health of your rotator cuff. But my experience is those people do very well. Their pain drops down tremendously. And with a lot of hard work and getting your rotator cuff stronger again, most people can lift overhead and do the things that they want to do.
Thank you, Bob. Okay, we are really running out of time here. So whoever gets on, do it quickly. And next time, call earlier. Okay, let's go to Nancy in Middletown. All right, Nancy in Middletown, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's a quick question.
Sure.
I wonder if through your practice you do water therapy and or if you refer to someone after surgery and PT exercises to continue to follow up with it.
Hi, Nancy. We don't have a pool at our office. Sunnyview is one of the offices that does water therapy, but we don't do that at our office.
That's in Schenectady?
That's in Schenectady, yes.
Okay, Nancy, thank you. All right, let's go to Jane in Westerlo. Jane in Westerlo, you're on.
Hi. I broke my ankle 6 years ago. I'll try to be very quick. It was a spiral fracture, which required a plate and seven screws. During the last 6 years, I always had discomfort with it, and I thought, well, that just goes with the territory of having this metal in my ankle. I went back to my surgeon. He told me that it could be tendon involvement and to get the plate out, which I did just a week ago. I'm home recovering. He found that the two tendons on the left side where the plate was were completely damaged and had to bring the tendon from the other side of my ankle over to replace those. So I'm in recovery mode right now with that, and I am looking forward to at least 6 weeks of physical therapy. I'm just wondering about tendon repair recovery.
So you have to go a little bit slower with those, Jade, just because tendons are less vascular. They don't get as much blood supply, and you have to go slower with those. And there's even a time frame where they need to be immobilized, where you don't do anything to let them heal back to the bone.
Right. Well, I am non-weight-bearing at the moment, probably for the next several weeks, and then I'm going to be in a boot. But is that a common thing to have the tendon brought over from the other side of the ankle to repair?
You know, I don't know exactly what they did not knowing what type of procedure you had. But a tendon transfer, those are common, especially in Achilles tendon repairs where they intertwine a tendon just to help with blood flow and help the tissue heal quicker.
Okay, Jane, okay, got to let you go. I'm sorry. Let's go to Helen in Claremont. Helen in Claremont, you're going to be on. You're on.
Thank you so much. I'm wondering if you have experience with people adjusting the hand controls for driving. I've had them for about 3 months, and I'm having a lot of wrist pain from the spinner knob, which is what I use for steering. There's limited ability to adjust the position on the car because of the design of the car's steering wheel.
Yeah, to be honest, Helen, I don't have a lot of experience with that. That's just not the type of physical therapy I've done throughout my career.
Thank you, Helen.
Sorry about
all
that.
All right, and now we're going to go to Arthur in Half Moon. Arthur in Half Moon, you got to make it quick, Arthur. We're running out of time.
Yes, this is going to be quick. When should I consider knee replacement? How far can I push after many decades of heavily sport, soccer, surfing, etc.? When should I consider?
When you have constant pain and you start to lose motion in your knee, your muscle starts to shut down. I've seen it kind of go both ways, where patients have gone probably earlier than they needed to, and then patients that have waited too long to get a knee replacement. So it's a good question. It's a difficult question to answer specifically. But most of the people that go in and have those surgeries are in constant pain, and they're starting to lose function in their knee.
Okay. Pete, we have one sentence from you. Pete, what you're going to ask us is that your pop shoulder out of socket told it would heal itself. What to do?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Should I see a special?
So if you either dislocated it, which means that your shoulder popped out and someone had to put it back in, or you subluxed it, which means that it popped out and went back in by itself.
Okay, and I can only say that's all the time we have on the show. We are out of time. Thanks for everyone who called in. And I apologize to Mara in Woodstock and Bernard in Belchertown, because there ain't no more time. I also want to thank our pal Matt Alheim of Rupture and Associates Physical Therapy for joining us today. He's the hottest ticket in town. Believe me, he is. I know that. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Gomez Neurology, Albany, New York, medical neurologist offering scrambler pain therapy, non-invasive and non-drug pain relief therapy. Welcome Dr. Lori Garten to the practice and GomezNeurology.com for information. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.